ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome to Turkey Week, everybody. I'm Mark. I'm not in the podcasting studio. Believe it or not, I'm in my office at my mythical day job. Scotty is sitting in a deer blind with the sun. Scotty, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Just getting ready to hopefully slay a deer this afternoon. It'll be great.
What a weekend it was last weekend, Scotty. Saturday almost unfolded as what would have been the greatest upset Saturday I would have ever seen. The games were incredible. I could see the numbers. It was like I was in the Matrix. I had a lot of fun with it. But entertainment-wise, it was just beyond expectation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Your Baylor Bears almost pulled it off. Burt gave it all he had. He was so ticked off. And I love that he just went full gas can on the officials. He just basically said, they're screwing people and people are gambling, basically. Just, this is not right. And it was, they're doing it for TV ratings. It was fabulous. I mean, he just went full bore gas can. I didn't see what he got fined, but it's got to be a bunch. Just calling out how terrible that line was. Arkansas, I thought they were going to win that game. I didn't think they were going to win it like that. They just destroyed Ole Miss. I mean, just destroyed them. The bad part for Mississippi State this week, they can't run the football like Arkansas can. So that doesn't mean much for the Bulldogs. But, man, that was wild. The other game that was fabulous was at the end was USC UCLA game. What a game to end. I mean, DTR had that one turnover, and I kept telling them, I said, they got to figure out how to get a stop if they're going to win this game. And they get it with 5 minutes, and he turns it over again.
Yeah,
that's the difference in the ball game. And USC isn't a team that's very good on defense, but they figured out how to make the play in the Rose Bowl. That actually looked like, for the first time all year, a really good environment for a Pac-12 game.
It was a great environment. I think DTR had hurt his thumb in that game. You could see
he had
wince on it.
Yep.
I think that was giving him some problems. Staying in the Pac-12, Bo Nix getting it done out there. I mean, the guys, he literally Russell Wilson of this season, transfers in after having an okay career, and what he's done at Oregon minus the Georgia game is just, that's fantastic for that kid.
Yep, he was wounded and getting out there leading them to the victory.
Yeah.
I got two other. We can't not talk about us ripping on Spencer Rattler, and then him going out and having the greatest game of his life.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was so wild. Did you see the clip of the guy that they were at a post game on the defensive player? I think I retweeted it in my tweet line for everybody in my Twitter timeline for anybody that follows me. But they asked him, they said, you know, you guys struggled. What happened after halftime that things were just so different? And he just says, you got to drop your balls.
Oh, yeah.
Just go straight to, well, what else did y'all do? Nothing. Just like, we just had to get tougher. We had to play better. And at the end of the day, that's the truth. I mean, and you could hear a couple of the guys start laughing in the background, and I'm sure South Carolina has got some, you know, some media relations person just grilling him on how to answer. But that was such a fabulous answer. I mean, because at the end of the day, it was the truth. I mean, that's what that kid, and that's probably what the defensive coaches were telling them, was exactly that. And they went out and did it. And just, I thought it was hilarious. I did not see Tennessee getting drilled like that. Tough for those guys, you know, losing Hooker. That's obviously a killer. But what a wild game that was. And then the other wild game, Oklahoma, 28 in the first quarter and don't score again. They don't score again. How nuts is that?
Yeah, I was shocked with that. When they came, I think Oklahoma State's circling the drain. But to get it done, I literally almost – I quit watching after I saw it at 28 to Bullitt, thinking, hey, this one's going to roll out and go that way. And then I looked back later, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they pulled it back together. And I like Oklahoma this weekend against Texas Tech. Texas Tech loses their All-American edge rusher to a foot injury. He's declared for the draft. I think Oklahoma could get it, you know, flip one more over and keep this thing moving. And so it's – yeah, they're not as bad. They're real weird. They're not as bad as I think they are, but they're not as good as I think they are either. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but they're just very unpredictable. And the Big 12 is like that. If you look at TCU getting it done, and I told you, I thought TCU would probably win the game. I said, if you're going to bet the game, bet Baylor or walk away from it because the line stunk so bad. And everybody keeps waiting on this frog team to lose. And, I mean, these kids are just playing with so much heart. I think they win this weekend, and then they match up with probably Kansas State in the Big 12 championship, which I think is going to be a fantastic game. Kansas State, I think they're easily a top 15 team in the country. And so I'm excited. I don't love this board this week because you've got a lot of rivalries into it. And gigantic point spread numbers. So we're going to try to find some value. But I'm excited for what we still have left within college football. We've got last weekend's going to be good. I think the conference championships are going to be great. And then, of course, we've got the Army-Navy game, which will obviously be an under bet that we'll be taking that week.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Oh, Scotty, man, with that being said, are you ready, Chase? Are you ready? We got a guest picker on the show. Scott, you want to tell us who we got here?
Yeah, we got my son, Chase. He closed the deal. I posted this on Twitter, too. He asked me, he said, if I win, can I pick the state Ole Miss game? I said, sure, you know, a little motivation for him to win the title. Well, they go out and they win the title. And he plays well. And he tells me post game, not how fired up he is. He was like, Dad, you know, I get the guest pick next week. I'm like, yeah, I guess you do, bud.
That's fantastic.
That's the first thing he was thinking about. So I guess he's ready, and I guess that means that you and I talk podcast and gambling way too much around my 12-year-old.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? I will tell you this much. I love the Egg Bowl, not just because it's a great game. It's on Thanksgiving. It was my wife and I's first ever holiday to spend together. We were dating. My brother was at Ole Miss. We went to the Egg Bowl, watched Deuce McAllister, and it must have rained 3 inches in Oxford, Mississippi that day. Froze my balls off.
That was 2000 for anybody who would like to know.
That was 2000. Yes.
Yep.
2000 Egg Bowl. Deuce McAllister, me, my wife, my family had a turkey under a 20x10 tent and had a fantastic time. And that was the day my wife thought, "Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm going to be with this guy forever." As we stood in the rain for 5 hours to tailgate, and we thought it was the best thing we could ever do.
And I sat there through that entire game as well and did not have nearly as much fun as someone who would have been cheering for Ole Miss with your brother there. State got up 16-0 in that game. Wayne Madkin got the flu, had to go out, and I think they got outscored 38-16 the rest of the way. I mean, 38-0 the rest of the way.
I think that
had to bring in a freshman quarterback, Kevin Fant, who was not ready to play, certainly not in an environment like that with it raining. And it just went sideways.
Oh, that's awesome. Folks, with that being said, let's dive into this board. It's Thanksgiving. We got things to do. And no one wants to listen to a podcast on Thanksgiving Day. So hopefully you're going to tune this in as you're on your way to eat some turkey. Maybe you're making some turkey and we can find you some bets. The first game we're going to cover, and then we're going to come back to it, is we're going to go Ole Miss, Mississippi State. And Chase, I'm going to give the floor to you, my little friend. Who is going to win this game and what's going to go on?
All right, so I probably got to pick Mississippi State because if I don't, my dad's not going to feed me. And then what I think is going to happen is Mississippi State's going to get up 14-7 in the first quarter, and then Mississippi State's not going to score the second quarter. Ole Miss is going to score 10 points. They're going to get up 17-14 at halftime, and then Ole Miss is going to score 2 touchdowns in the third quarter. And then I say Mississippi State makes it close in the fourth, but Ole Miss pulls it out.
My man broke it down by the quarter. I mean,
gotta love it right there. That is pretty good right there. I mean, I must say that I could see some of that happening. I think the only way State wins this ball game is if Kiffin's bailing. If he's got his team convinced that he's staying, I don't know how State stops Ole Miss for four quarters running the football. I think this game is close at halftime. I think State's got a chance to have a lead at halftime. And considering how bad Ole Miss has been in the second half, you would think that sets up well. I just think that Bulldog offense is not going to be able to stay on the field. That defense is going to get exposed from its depth. And I think Ole Miss is going to have its way later in the ballgame running the football. This is about running the football for me. They get Evans back. Judkins just who he is. That kid's a stud. If that kid's not the best freshman running back in the country, I don't know who he is, because that kid's legit. And if Kiffin is going to Auburn, let me tell you who's going to be wearing orange and blue next year, and that is probably Judkins, because I'm fairly certain they're going to make sure he transfers too. But at the end of the day, I just think the Ole Miss run game against a shallow Mississippi State defense. It's a pretty good Mississippi State defense, but its numbers look worse than it really is. They have not stopped teams that are really physical running the football. The best they've done against what I would call a run team all year, I think, is Alabama to stay in the football game, and Bama was sleepwalking. Ole Miss is not going to sleepwalk. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This is the gauntlet State used to play, and they lost like 8 or 9 games in a row to Arkansas doing the exact same thing. Bama at home, on the road at Arkansas, home at Ole Miss, which is exactly what Ole Miss is doing now. And just the other way around with State coming in. And State always played well against Ole Miss. It was Arkansas they played brutal against. The weather was cold. I think people are going to make way too much out of this. I think that's the reason this line continues to drop. I think Ole Miss is going to have their way running the football in this game, mostly in second half. Emotion will be a big part of it. But Kiffin, if he's staying, and he certainly made it sound that way today, although I don't believe that at all. But, you know, we could talk about that coaching search in depth. At the end of the day, if he's staying, Ole Miss is going to win this game. If he's leaving and that group knows he's got a foot out the door, then maybe they don't play inspired football. Because they got so many out-of-state guys and so many transfers that it means more to State. If he's staying, I think they win this football game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ole Miss's physicality. I mean, they had both Judkins and Evans had over 200 yards rushing last week against Arkansas. Now, a lot of that came late in the game in some garbage town for those guys with some big chunks. But I think that the just rushing attack with what they've got here against Mississippi State, they're just – too much physically for this team to handle for four quarters. And so I like where Chase is at, breaking it down by the quarter. I think there's some value in there. I just don't see how Mississippi State can keep up with them for four quarters. I just think they're physically going to get beat up. This is a huge game for these kids. I know most of the people in the country may or may not even be watching this game and realize how big it is for the Mississippi, but these kids that are from down there, this is a gigantic game for them. I mean, from the dog peeing incident we had a couple of years ago, I mean, all kinds of good stuff that you've got in this one. So I'm excited about it.
Lord, we had it twice. Because don't forget, after they broke Nick Fitzgerald's leg, DK Metcalf did it.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets that because it wasn't the story of the game, and Ole Miss won the game, and it was actually A.J. Brown who had the gigantic game for the Rebels in Starkville that night, calling himself the mayor of Starkville, which if everyone doesn't know, A.J. Brown is from Starkville. So anyway, just a just a pretty, you know, pretty interesting deal. And then, of course, Moore does it, and it costs them the ball game because they missed the extra point. So this is a bloodbath. But most of the kids I'm mentioning in this are Mississippi kids.
Yeah.
Ole Miss got a bunch of guys from out of state, a bunch of transfers that really don't know what this game means. But candidly, Mike Leach doesn't really know what this game means. They haven't put forth an effort that I think merits the blood of this game. And both these coaches kind of talking it down when they first got the job. Oh, let's take the intensity out of the rival. We're friends. But Kiffin hadn't played that way. Leach has. And again, I think that's more advantage Ole Miss.
Let's go. I got the Running Rebels in this one. I wish they were an underdog, but I'll take them as -2 at home. It's Thursday night. It'll be the only college game on TV. We're locked and loaded. We're rolling with my man Chase. We're going to get it done. Scotty, that being said, let's jump to Tuesday action that we've got here. Ohio Bowling Green, game 101-102. Over under here is 55. Ohio is laying 7. I'm going to skip through a lot of the details. This Ohio team is going to play for the MAC championship. They're 8-3 straight up. They're 8-3 against the number, 7-4 to the over. We've ridden Ohio in here. We've got some connections in the school. That's the reason I'm going under in this game tonight. I don't think Ohio is going to be able to generate a lot of offense in this game. They're banged up bad. I think that they're nicked up on the offensive line. They're most likely going to be playing with their third-string quarterback this evening. I don't think Rourke's going to play. The backup quarterback hurt his elbow in the Iowa State game and had to get Tommy John surgery. They could be down 2 tackles and a center tonight when they get into this one. And I know you're thinking, why in the world would you go under in this game, because Ohio's defense has not been great. I just think they're going to have to really condense this game if they want a chance to win it, which they need to keep the season moving. I'm going under 55 in this MAC game tonight.
I like the under here for a lot of the same reasons, but a couple of other things. Bowling Green actually gets a lot of sacks. It's not a great defense, but if you go pull those Mississippi State games, they played some big teams out of conference. You pull some of those games out of the schedule, I mean, their schedule looks, candidly, going on the road a lot like Kent's did.
Yeah.
You pull all those statistics out where they just got gas canned and just physically were overmatched. This team looks a whole lot better than I think people think they are. I think the big plays on defense, at one point they were leading the country in sacks. This is a team that can get you behind the chains. You're talking backup quarterback for Ohio. That leads to a lot of negative plays. But I say the same thing about that Ohio defense. I think that defense in MAC play has been better than most people have given it credit for, because that offense has scored so much. But when they've needed to lock down, just like last week against Ball State after Rourke got hurt in that second half, they were cruising to a comfortable win.
Yeah.
And that defense had to hold them to field goals to hold on and to get a cover in that ball game because Rourke went out. So, anyway, I think it's better than you look. I think the under is the play here. Cool weather in the ball game tonight.
Nice.
I think the defenses create a lot of negative plays against offenses that are a little handicapped due to injuries late in the season.
Yeah, I would say, and the other thing I'm going to be looking for, the current first half line is 27.5. If I can find it to pop to 28, I'm going to go first half under because it's going to take 5 scores to beat you. And I don't think that's a bad spot, especially with, I think, the amount of injuries you're going to see get announced when we head into this before we get to game time. So if you're listening, great. Hopefully what we're telling you is accurate because we get it on pretty good sources. But that's the first game we're going to go to. That's Tuesday night. So we got Tuesday. We got Thursday. Scotty, next game I want to go to. We got some fun ones on this board, brother. Let's go down to 122 on the board here on a Friday noon game. Utah State and Boise State. Utah State got it done last week to become bowl eligible. They're still 4-7 against the number. Boise State, 8-3 straight up. They're 5-5 against the number. They're going to be playing for the Mountain West Championship if they win this game. I like Boise here to cover this number at 16.5. This Boise team's actually gotten better since they fired the offensive coordinator and changed gears on that one. They've won 4 out of their last 5, and they've covered 3 of those 5 games as well. Last week against against Wyoming, they did not cover. They won 20-17. But I think they turn it here. I like what I'm getting from this Boise State team. Give me them laying the number against this Utah State team. This has still got a little bit of a rivalry feel to it. And Utah State's not that good. They're going to be playing at Boise. It's going to be an early game. Keep in mind, this is Mountain Time. They're going to be playing at 10 o'clock in the morning. Give me the home team laying the points. I like Boise State in this one.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this, you look at what they've done against and what I'll call similar teams to Utah State, WAC teams kind of out west. Man, they have put wood on them, starting with that Senate, because they fired the offensive coordinator after that UTEP game. And then you're talking 35-13, where they were down 13-0 to San Diego State in that ball game. 40-20 against Fresno State. Now, the QB for Fresno was out. Air Force been the only game that's been tight. They found a way to win that 19-14. Colorado State 49-10. Nevada 41-3, and then it was tight last week with Wyoming 20-17. This is more in line with the Nevadas, Colorado States, Fresno State, San Diego States. I think they get the cover here comfortably against a team that candidly is reeling a little bit in Utah State.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think Utah State's that good. We're going to go Boise State. Scotty, let's go to a game everybody's excited to watch. Let's go to the state of Iowa as they match with Nebraska in this spot. I thought Nebraska was going to hire a coach at the end of last week. They still haven't done it. Apparently Jim Leonard does have the job at Wisconsin, but we'll see if they come out with a formal announcement. This game, 131-132. Iowa at home laying 10.5. Over under here is 38.5. It's going to sound gross, but we're going under 38.5. I don't think there's much offense in this game whatsoever. And we are going to sit there with the lowest total on the board, and it's actually the second lowest total on the board, and we're going to go under with it. Explain to me why this is the bright side of this game.
Because neither one of these teams can score, and they actually, especially Iowa, plays pretty good defense.
Really good
defense. That Nebraska defense is really slow. We talked about this after watching them with Northwestern that very first game. Man, they just don't have the speed to play against teams. Well, guess what? They're going to play another team, doesn't have very much either. And it is, I think this game's really low scoring. I truly don't know how Nebraska's going to score very much on this team. I just think they're going to struggle. Iowa just isn't explosive enough to exploit Nebraska's poor defense, in my mind. And so I think this is a close ball game on the road. I think Iowa controls it start to finish. This looks like a 31-7 game, and I understand that's getting by half, but at 27-7, you know, 27-10, something like that is where I think this game comes out, and I just don't think Nebraska's got enough to stay in this or to stretch this game over, so I feel really good about low numbers here. Remember, we've won covering some low numbers. We took Air Force Army under 33.5. I mean, under 33.5 last year. They went to overtime and hit 33, and we hit it. So don't be scared to bet you some small numbers sometimes. I think we took Army and Navy one time, and it was 32.
Oh, yeah, and we'll be doing that again next week. I'm kind of hoping the actual total is under 30 just so I can bet it, whether it's going to win or not. I just want to take an under in under 30 in something at some point in my life. That being said, Scotty, let's go to Sunbelt Saturday noon. I want to talk about Marshall and Georgia State. This game 178. Over-under here is 45. Marshall's laying 6. Marshall comes in 7-4 straight up, 6-5 against number 2-9 to the under. The reason I accentuate that is because the Marshall defense is a solid unit. They're only giving up 15 points a game. Most of you probably haven't watched this team since they beat Notre Dame, but this is a good unit. And what I like about this team here is they're physical. They're really slow on offense. They do not put up a ton of points, and they don't even run that fast. But I think Georgia State, the only thing they can do is run the ball, and I think this is going to be problematic for them because Marshall's run defense is only giving up 90 yards a game. And they've played some pretty stiff competition. I'm going under in this one. Last week we had Marshall, Georgia Southern under 52. This week we're going to stay on Marshall, but I'm going minus 6 in this one. I just think they physically get it done, and Georgia State's defense isn't going to be able to slow them down.
Yeah, I think the exact same thing. Look, this Marshall defense loves to stop the run. I mean, they're giving up 3 yards a carry, 91 yards a game. And for Georgia State to go, they got to run the football. It sets up everything about their offense. It allows for that big play. They've got to run the football. It's a tough place to play as well. Don't forget, Georgia State is going to be going to a really, really cold environment and a tough environment to play at Marshall. And this is just a really good defensive football team for Marshall. That's what gets it done across the board for them. They're only scoring 23 points a game. But they're only giving up 15.5. Remember what this team did to Notre Dame. I think a lot of people thought after that, oh, well, Notre Dame had just played well. They were overrated. Clearly, Notre Dame's not an overrated football team. That's a good football team. That's a really good win for Marshall. Georgia State has gotten some things done. They no longer are playing for bowl eligibility. Obviously, Marshall's playing for a really, really good season, chance to get to 8 wins. The key for me is stopping the run of Georgia State. That's where I think Marshall does it. That's why I like them to cover this line.
Yep, I would agree with you. Let's stick with Marshall on that one. Scotty, let's go to another highly watched game, game 224. UTSA against UTEP. Beep, beep against the Miners in this one. The Miners need this game to go bowling, and you're going to see a lot of this on Saturday where you got teams that are 5-6, need the win to go bowling. There's a reason they're 5-6. They're not that good. This UTSA team's explosive. Last week they lit up Rice like a Christmas tree, then the weather blew in and they kind of shut it down and still ran away with this one. I think UTSA is going to woodshed these guys. It gets them to 10 wins and covers this line of 17 in this one. I don't see how UTEP's going to put up a bunch of points, but I love UTSA in this spot. I think this is a great spot for them.
Man, I just UTSA has been a fun team to bet on. Now, they're not nearly as good against the spread as they were last year, but those dudes just figure out how to get it done. You know, that is the that's the real thing for me. UTEP, and after getting to a bowl game last year, I think Dana Demmel's still doing a really good job with this program. I mean, let's not forget, this place was a mess when he got there. And got him on the verge of bowl eligibility again, whether he wins or loses. God ain't going 5-7 after backing up last year with the type of season they've had, because they really struggled early in the year is really kind of what got them. That loss to New Mexico was really a rough one. That's obviously what may keep them out of a bowl game. But what I think we're going to see is more of a North Texas kind of game. They lost that game 31-13. And they really kind of looked outmatched in that ball game. They played really hard and had tons of opportunity in the first half of that game. I'm probably the only person that was watching that to start the season. But that was a game that I actually bet we had bet UTEP to cover, and they just didn't have the horsepower to keep up with North Texas. That's exactly what they're going to run into with UTSA today. This is a really, really good quarterback, best quarterback in this league. He's at home, last ball game. Think he has a gigantic game and a gigantic night, and I think they try to send this guy out on a great note.
I agree with you. UTSA won this game last year 44-23 or something like that. This is kind of a rivalry for these two teams, but I do think they go ahead and get their 10 wins, move on through. Frank Harris is going to have a big night. I like it all the way around. Let's keep this thing rolling as we're trying to get you out there so you can get you some deer hunting. Scotty, next one I want to go to is the Duke-Wake game, 149 on your register sheet there. Over under 66.5. I'm just going to tell you I'm going dead under in this spot. Mike Elko, that guy has got to love what he is doing rather than being the defensive coordinator at Texas A&M, because that is gun and mouth time if you've got a job in College Station currently. But Duke's done fantastic. I was very low on this team coming into the season. Didn't see how they were going to hit their over-under win total, and now they're at 7-4 straight up. They're 8-3 against the number, but they're scoring 33 points a game. They run at lightning fast speed, so this should be a great game. I'm looking for a lot of points in this one.
Yeah, I'm looking for a lot. I'm looking for a lot of points in this ball game. You're talking 66.5. I think they get over this number. Both these teams are at one. Wake's averaging 37, Duke 33. Both giving up a lot of points too. Duke's a little better on defense as the number comes. But Duke's done a lot creating turnovers. I don't necessarily know that they get those in this ball game, so I think it just comes down to, you know, can they score enough to keep up? And I think on that Wake defense, they can. We talked about an over-under last week, just in passing about Wake, and it doesn't matter who they play. It just seems like there's a lot of points. I mean, that's just the way it always is. Syracuse has really been reeling. I think that last week was 5 losses in a row for those guys. But, man, they scored, 35 or something like that in that ball game. I think that's very similar to what we get. I think Duke scores some points. I think Wake scores some points, but we get over this number. I look for this game to be in the 70s.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's going to be I think it's going to be fireworks in this one. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this game, actually. Scotty, that's the board we got. Small, tight. Hopefully we can get it done. Rapid fire. Let's go through a couple of big games we got this week. Ohio State, Michigan. We've been talking about it all week. Michigan losing Blake Corum last week, I think, is a big deal. I've been talking about hedging out of this spot. I thought Michigan could get it done. I may be laying the 7 with Ohio State. That freshman running back for Ohio State looked good last week. Jim Knowles' defense has been great. I'm really looking forward to watching this game. Got no real opinion, but -7, I might take a shot at Ohio State.
7.5 is on some of the books. You got to buy the hook to get out of that. That might be the difference in a push and a loss. Although I think with the weather being the way it is, this might be Ohio State's chance. I think the difference in this ball game is going to be the defense. It was clear last week that Michigan can't throw it when they have to, and they're going to have to throw it in this ball game. And that's a good Ohio State defense. It's a great Ohio State defensive coordinator. I think they cover this game, and I have not felt that way all year. Don't want to make too much out of last week because, look, I think both those teams were looking forward to this ball game. I don't think they gave their best efforts on either part. I just didn't think Illinois was good enough to even stay within that number. I was wrong. I should have seen the look ahead coming. After that, I did get me a little Ohio State because I figured, you know what, they're going to come out and play terrible the same way they did. So anyway, it was just a different week. But I do. I think I like Ohio State this week.
Florida State, Florida. I would take the Noles. I think they're rolling pretty solid. Florida's circling the drain. They're kind of a mess at this spot. That's my opinion. They're laying 9.5. Only other one I've got, Oregon State. I like Oregon State in this game. I think Bo Nix is going to be banged up, and I don't know what you're going to get out of this offense without him being able to be 100%. This game's in Corvallis. It's a huge game for these two teams. Oregon State would love nothing more than to blow Oregon's season up a little bit and get to 9 wins. Jonathan Smith's done one hell of a good job. I go Oregon State Beavers in this one.
Yeah, it's going to be this will be interesting. I think right now it's Washington in the driver's seat in the North. Isn't that right?
I think so, yeah.
And so that ought to be interesting. I take that back. Oregon may have to lose this ball game for Washington to get in.
That is correct.
There's a lot to play for. I think there's a lot to play for. This is going to be a fun game to watch. I think just as an underdog of traditionally in this rivalry, I got a little bit of love for Oregon State. I got a couple of friends that are Oregon fans, probably won't like hearing that. But, you know, it's kind of nice to see those teams win the game sometimes. And this is certainly a year Jonathan Smith and his crew can get it done. I think it'll be a great ball game.
If Oregon State wins the game and Washington beats Wazoo, Washington will play USC for the Pac-12 championship. If Oregon wins out, they'll play USC for the Pac-12 championship. So, a lot to play for, and you know Oregon State would love to spoil their season. That would be fantastic. Other things we got here, Louisville, Kentucky. I'd say give me Kentucky. Louisville's been underwhelming to me. I would take Kentucky in this game. Plus, Stoops is just – he's crushed these guys throughout it since he's got this thing going.
Yeah, basically, that's each other. I would tell you, just got a big contract. Cannot believe they're going to pay him $8.5 million. But hey, that's what happens. Go Jimmy Sexton, baby. Go Jimmy Sexton, because that's what a lot of this is about. So anyway, that's a shocker. The other game, I'm looking forward to Wazoo, Washington. I think that's going to be a good ball game. I think that may be some points. My gut told me that. A couple weeks ago that Washington was going to win that Oregon game. My gut tells me this week that there's going to be a bunch of points. That's what I think is the flavor, even though it's going to be cold in that ball game and it's late at night. I think there'll still be some points.
Texas A&M LSU play Saturday evening. It's going to be a great game. Bullshit. Suck that tiger dick, bitch. LSU is going to train wreck these guys. They can't stand A&M. No one really likes the Aggies in the Southeastern Conference. And A&M swapped schedules around because they wanted LSU to be their last game of the season. They would have that cherry at the end like they used to have with Texas. And they put them in this spot. I think LSU comes in after last week and seeing what went on. I can't imagine Brian Kelly doesn't have these guys ready to roll, knowing they've got the SEC championship on deck. with an outside shot, if they can pull it off, to maybe be the first two-loss team to get into the national championship hunt. I think LSU handles their business Saturday night.
I hope they handle their business, because I'm just going to be fascinated to see what happens to Jimbo if that does go on.
I think he gets fired.
You know, I'm telling you, especially if they cover. I mean, he goes and loses this game by a couple of touchdowns, and man, I don't know how in the world the Aggie fans are able to deal with that. So, I think this is a fascinating matchup. Can't wait to watch it. If LSU were not already guaranteed that they're in the SEC championship, this would be on the board. That scares me a little bit. In that, I think do they just care about winning and not really putting their boot in their neck? You're right. It's a rivalry deal, though. And this game goes back to a rivalry to Slocum. I mean, this game was pretty heated in the 80s. For a lot of people probably don't remember that are listening to this. When they were not in the same conference, this was a heated rivalry. Some really, really tough games. They played a pretty good bit. So I think this game means a lot to these fan bases. Tons of old people from LSU as well. They all work together. This game's a lot about bragging rights. So I agree. I think the Tigers get it done.
You got anything else this week? That's kind of all I got. It's not my favorite board, but I think there's
that is it. I was not crazy. I was not crazy about this. I was not crazy about this board. So I think, you know, I think Georgia is so much better than Georgia Tech, but do they really go gas can those guys after back-to-back road games? You know, because, I mean, what is that line, 35, 35 and a half? I mean, I kind of got a little bit of love for Georgia Tech just because of how big that line is. But if Georgia plays well, they cover it. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be some great games, a lot of rivalry games out there. Should be really entertaining. With that being said, folks, give us some reviews. Enjoy some turkey. Hit us up on Twitter. We will be back next week for the conference championship. Everyone have a safe and wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you soon.